Nothing is more exciting than learning the Word of God. When someone gives me a little new idea in the Bible, I get so excited about it, and I'm always thankful for it. We are studying the person of the Holy Spirit, and we have dealt with the doctrinal aspect of it very strong, and then we studied the Holy Spirit function in a human person named Paul. We'd like in this lesson to take you to the person of the Holy Spirit in a book called the Book of Romans, and confine ourselves to just one chapter, and that is chapter 8 of the Book of Romans. In Romans 8, the believer learns of the functions and operations of the Holy Spirit in relationship to the sonship of the born-again person. In chapter 8 of Romans, the believer, that's us, the believer, he learns the functions and operations of the Holy Spirit in relationship to his sonship or his born-again experience. There are 12 functions and operations of the Holy Spirit that are spoken of in Romans chapter 8, just that one chapter. In this chapter, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 16 times in one chapter, the person of the Holy Spirit. And he is mentioned only 2 times before in the entire book of Romans. And the entire book of Romans, up to chapter 8, mentioned twice. And in that chapter, there are 16 times that he is mentioned in 12 functions of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8 and 18, it says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The Holy Spirit is speaking to humanity, and that we may go through some sufferings here, some problems here, some sorrows here, but the earnest expectation that is within us will help us to overcome those. And so we want to look into that chapter and see what we can find about them. And so it will begin in verse 1. The Holy Spirit is a walk. Following him rids the believer of condemnation. All right, Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now, say now.
Now.
That's right now. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we find, beginning in verse 1, that the Holy Spirit has a way to walk. And he says that there is no condemnation to any person, that if he will just walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Now, I want to be real honest with you. I'd like to speak on this for the whole 30 minutes. There are millions of people living under condemnation that call themselves Christians. There are millions, not thousands, living under some form of condemnation. And the Bible says there is no condemnation if we are in Christ, and we do not walk after the carnality of the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit. So the first thing that we learn about the person of the Holy Spirit in Acts and Romans 8 is that we can walk in that Spirit. In verse 28, we'll be going back and forth, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them which are called according to his purpose. So the Holy Spirit has a philosophy for you to live by. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, if we live for God and serve God, all the things that we do works together for good to we that love God, we who are the called according to his divine purposes. So he does have a walk that we should walk in. He does have a truth that we abide in. Your point number 2, the law of the Spirit, of the person of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life, with a capital S, which is in Christ Jesus. Here is the meshing and the intermovings of the third person and the second person of the Trinity. That he is the guide, he is the leader, he is the pusher, but then he is the revealer of the Savior. He does not speak of himself, he always speaks of Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This law has made me free from the law of sin and death. And so we find here there is a law principle. A law principle. And the law principle is of life in the Holy Ghost. That in the Holy Spirit we find a principle of truth that guarantees us life. Life, the law of life in the Holy Spirit. The next verse, verse 3, says, For what the law, the Mosaic law, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, it had no abiding sacrifice like the blood of Jesus. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of human beings and sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that we might have that law functioning and working in our life, a law of the Spirit, which cancels the penalty of death. Just sends it away. It's gone forever by this law that's mentioned here. This chapter must have indeed, of course, we know that the whole Bible was inspired of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit moved upon men and they wrote the Bible. But this particular chapter must have been tremendously inspired. I think it might be wrong to say the word tremendously. All the Bible is tremendously inspired. The total Bible is. Let us say gloriously then. No, it's all glorious. Somebody got to help me here. Entirely. Divinely. Yeah, that's sweet. Divinely. Your B says the law of the Spirit fulfills righteousness. Verse 4. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost has a law. It is a law of life. It is a life in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Master, our Lord. It is a life not in self-righteousness, not in the carnality of the human parts of us. It is opposite of a contrary law. We can't get in on teaching on that tonight. Contrary law of sin and death that's in the world that we live in today. It's an opposite law to that. But the Holy Spirit in Romans 8 is teaching us of a law that we can live in, walk in, serve in. Your point number 3, obedient to a master. In Romans 8 and 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. Now you obey your own master, whether evil or good. You obey your own master. If you are a sinner, you're serving the devil. He's your master. If you're serving Jesus, you obey him because he is your master. So we obey whoever we're serving. For they that are after the flesh, sinners, they just take care of the flesh. That's all. They live that way. They have the fruit of the flesh all through them. Every time they speak, you see the evidence of the flesh coming up out of the inner beings. But they that are after the Spirit, every time you're around them, the things of the Spirit comes up out of them. Because they are dominated and controlled by a master. A master. And that master is the Holy Ghost, directing and blessing and guiding and leading us into the perfection of the children of God for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Point number 4, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. He dwells within the believer. That's verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself, and I think you will notice to the side in your Bibles there that it says himself. That in the translations of this King James Version that we're using here, it says itself. And who has a Bible there that it says himself to the side? Do you? Yeah, they do in the more current translations of it. The Spirit himself beareth witness within our spirit. Now this is a remarkable situation that you as John Doe, and people know you as John Doe, and then they see something flowing forth from you of another person. You see, the Spirit himself beareth witness within our spirit that we are the children of God. And so within us, we have his Spirit bringing forth really the fruit of the Spirit into all of our lives. In your B, he does not just visit the believer. He is residual there. He lives there. That's home. That's his residence. That's his house. Romans 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. You don't live in the natural. You don't live in the carnal. You don't live in the sinful. You don't live in the devil telling you what to do. You're not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. He dwells within us. He is in us. We are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That you're walking in the Spirit if he dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So anyone who does not have this Spirit that we're talking about, and these fruit of the Spirit, it says here, he's none of his. He's none of Christ. He doesn't belong to Christ. If so be that he doesn't have this, the Spirit that Christ sent to this earth. He said, I will send you another comforter, and when he is come, he will abide with you forever. And so we don't walk after the carnality of human persons. We don't say what they say. I believe, when I hesitate like that, I don't know whether to tell you or not. I believe the time is going to come when God's going to draw a line between the believer and the unbeliever. I battle in television and radio and everywhere else, trying to keep holiness. And some interpret it as narrow-mindedness, you see. Old folkiness and so forth. I don't believe you can be too holy on the face of this earth. And I think women should walk and look like Christians. And you can call that a clothesline preacher if you want to, because it don't make any difference to me what you think. But I believe the time is coming when God's going to make a separation between people that look like godly people and those that don't. And if you don't know where the makeup that they're using today comes from, up under the eyes and under the eyes and around the eyes, it comes right out of the pagans. It's the way they did it in Egypt 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. You're not very clever. It's the way they've always done it. Why would you want to look like a pagan when you're pretty like you are? Leave it to me. I'll put both feet into it, not just one. We don't walk after the flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit of the Holy God, and I want God to look upon me and be pleased with the way I look. But we walk in the Spirit. It says, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man don't have the Spirit, he's none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. That's great. Sin is deadness. Sin is separation from God. Verse 10 says, If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And it says, if Christ be in you, the Spirit of life dwells within you because it brings the righteousness of God onto the inside of us. A B here that's very significant is that the prodigal son was declared dead by his father when he was away from the father. In Luke 15:24, the father proclaimed to all of those that were there, said, this my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to make to make merry. To live in sin lives in a world of death. And our problem with the word death is that we feel like it's annihilation. And we miss it there. If you go out of here tonight and go out there and step on your starter and it don't work, you come back in here, and you know what you tell everybody? My battery's dead. Well, it hasn't gone anywhere. It's still out there. You say, well, what does it need? It needs another guy to pull up with one that's alive. And the live one gives the dead one something. And whoo, the way it goes. Then you say, my battery is alive. When you're living in sin, your battery is dead. But when you come to Jesus, man, that battery is alive, you see. And when you walk in the Spirit, you got a live battery. And if you walk in the carnality of the flesh, you just got a dead battery, that's all. We can still shake hands with you, you know. You still got a hand. But on the inside, there needs to be a life of the Holy Ghost. A life of the Spirit, bringing forth His fruit in your life and bringing forth His gifts and bringing forth His anointings into your life. Can you say amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. As sin is deadness, so the Spirit is life. And we see it in the Word of God. Number six, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of resurrection. And again, if you had time to develop a thing like that, I presume you would in a Bible college, would have a whole semester on a thing like this. The Holy Spirit activates and brings into being a thing called life. He is the Spirit of resurrection. When you rise from the dead, He will bring you forth. When Jesus rose from the dead, He brought Jesus forth. Now that's dynamic, you see. The Holy Spirit activated the inanimate corpse and carcass of Jesus of Nazareth in that grave. He breathed upon it and He caused immortality to rush into it. And Jesus walked out of that grave with a new person. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, you say, I don't understand that. I didn't think you would. I don't either. But I'm glad it happened. I'm glad it happened. The Holy Spirit, who overshadowed Mary, the mother of Jesus, and caused her to conceive and give birth to a son named Jesus. Also, that same Holy Spirit caused Jesus Christ to come up out of the grave. If we ever got into this thing properly and had the proper relationships with the Holy Ghost and lived a separated life unto God, I don't know what might happen. I don't know what might happen. Romans 8 and 11 says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken, means give life to, your mortal body, this body, by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What a revelation. What a dynamic revelation that Holy Spirit that we're talking about not only moved upon the waters in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Not only did that. Not only was that Holy Spirit saying, I can't tolerate sin any longer at the time of Noah. It says that Spirit was grieved at that time. But that same Spirit is a resurrection Spirit. It brought Jesus up out of the grave. You and I should know more about someone like that. We're always wanting to get acquainted with big shots. Here's a big shot. Get acquainted with him. Amen. Bigger than the shots you ever saw. What a revelation. And number seven, through the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of the body. Now, you cannot mortify the deeds of this body on your own. You just cannot. Now, there's no need of trying. A lot of people have tried and they didn't do it. The power of the Holy Ghost enables a believer to actually kill and destroy or mortify the body. That's from verse 13, Romans 8. If we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, you do mortify the deeds of the body, and then you shall live. you shall live. So, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And so our victorious life has a direct relationship to the person of the Holy Ghost. Imagine not knowing who he is. Don't know whether it's an it or he. Isn't that something? How can you expect him to function and bless and help us when we're so ignorant of him? So ignorant of him. Do you know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Yeah, ignorant. God can't bless ignorance. If you want God to do something for you, get smart. Yeah. God is not ignorant. He cannot bless ignorance. If you want to get something from God, learn about it. That's the reason we're teaching on the person of the Holy Ghost. If we want him to do something for us, get to know him. And the better you get to know him, the more he's going to do for us. Through the Spirit, we crush, destroy, break down, obliterate the deeds of the sin life, the self life, and we come alive in the Spirit. Number 8, led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is aggressive. And I'd like to accentuate that. The Holy Spirit is aggressive. He is out front. He is leading. Verse 14 says again, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit of God. He's not behind you. He is in front of you. He has never been behind the church. He has always been in front of the church. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to guide our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. We were traveling in Tibet one time, and we came to a fork in the road just like this, two roads, and a mountain was right there. Our guide, Chinese guide, turned to me and said, sir, which road do you want to take? Well, I'd never been there before. I had no idea. Except you're not supposed to be the leader of a thing and not know anything. So I said, well, take the right. Had no idea. When we got to the village on the other side, they said everyone that took the left-hand road died today. The brigands killed them. If I had to take the left-hand road, we would have died that day. He said everyone on that road were killed today. No one got through. So we took the right. The Bible says you should hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's the voice of the Holy Ghost. I believe every one of us would be dead if the devil could have had his way. Amen. Yeah. You'll never know if you get to heaven how many car wrecks you didn't have. We're not going to count some of them you did have either. All right. In verse 9, the Spirit... Point number nine, the spirit of adoption. In verse 15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. You have received the spirit of adoption. It is the Spirit of God that makes us to know that we're the sons of God, that we are the children of God. Are you saved? I don't know. Well, you're not, no doubt about it. How would I feel if I spoke to my wife and said, honey, are you married? Well, I don't know. I said, what are these three boys doing around here? You see, evidence of marriage. When you're born again, you well know it, and the Holy Spirit is the one that causes you to come into the adoption of the sons of God, that we are now the sons and daughters of God. Glory be to God. Number 10, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit here on earth. We receive the beginnings of our inheritance through anointings, joys, rejoicings, answered prayers, and a lot of other good things. Verse 23 says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit. We have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves from within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. We're only getting today a little of the big stuff that's coming, just a little of it. The Spirit helps our infirmities. That's verse 26. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That means you can have a sorrow, you can have a problem, and the Holy Spirit moves in there to bless you. Number 12, verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit has a mind. Only the born-again person possesses an understanding of the mind of the Holy Ghost himself. The Holy Spirit possesses the powers of intercession to speak to the Father and to speak to the Son on behalf of the believers and their relationship to the will of God. And he searcheth our hearts, and he knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a mind that you and I can walk in his mind and in his ways. Again, Jesus said to Peter, these words that you have said don't come from inside of you, but they come of the Holy Spirit. My Father, which is in heaven, reveal these things unto you. So we can walk after the mind of the Holy Spirit here on the face of this earth and do the things and the works of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. How many are going to know him better? Yeah, you better believe it. Let us pray. Now, Father, we want to say thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit that you promised to come. And we're seeking to know him better and to walk in his ways and to enjoy all the privileges as the sons and daughters of the Most High. So bless us and keep us and love us. And we thank you for it. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen.